Well, again, tonight we'll talk about choices. How about that? But in our reading as a staff for today, we were presented again with that thought of choosing to serve the Lord. The reading for the staff was from the book of Joshua, right? You read this morning from Joshua. And I just want to take a few minutes to just look at some verses in that chapter. Joshua 24. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to open up to that. Here Joshua had come to the end of his life. He was the one that had brought the children of Israel into the land of promise. Moses had brought them right up to the border, and then God took him home. And Joshua, Moses' servant, was given those words, "Be courageous, be strong, meditate in my word day and night, and I'll be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not fail you. Only be strong and courageous. You will inherit the land that I promised to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And so God used Joshua to bring the people in, defeated the enemies. And now at the end of his life, he addresses the people again. He reminds them of what God had done for them. God had done wonderful things for them. And I think tonight we can look back just on these 2 weeks and say, God has done wonderful things for us. We've only been here a short time, but God has worked. I like being here for the 2 weeks because I sense that God has deepened us, deepened our worship. The atmosphere has changed, at least for me. And I see the growth that God works in our hearts as we seek Him, as we learn His ways. And that's only something that God can do. But He has done great things for us. He has worked in the village, in the cottage. And so Joshua reminded them of that, how God had driven out their enemies. Verse 14, 24:14. "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness." Fear the Lord, serve Him with all faithfulness. "Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household," what did he say? "We will serve the Lord." We will serve the Lord. He took his stand. He made his choice. And he challenged the people to do the same. "Then the people answered, 'Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery, performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God.'" Now the thing that makes me stop when I read this passage is what Joshua says next. Joshua says to me, "That's great. Wonderful. I'm glad you've made that resolve. I'm glad that that is in your heart." But what does he say to them? "You are not able to serve the Lord." He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord." Yes, we are witnesses. So it's settled, right? It seems like it. Joshua says, "You cannot." They say, "Yes, we will." He says, "All right, you're witnesses." But then he goes on and he says something here. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." Why was it that he said you cannot serve God? Why? Because they still had idols. Now you say, how did that happen? Something had been brought with them and had been passed down, it seems, from generation to generation, had never freed themselves from those idols. They had seen the great works of God among them. They had seen how he brought them out. They said it. You brought us out of slavery in Egypt. You did signs and wonders for us. You brought us, protected us through the wilderness. You brought us to the promised land. You drove out our enemies. And yet, Joshua, at the end of his life, says, you still need to throw away those gods that are among you. Is that possible? Is it possible for the people of God to have idols? You see, and that's the thing that kept them from being able to serve the holy, jealous Jehovah. Idols. What's an idol? Well, an idol is something we worship. Sometimes it's up on a shelf or hanging on a wall. Well, not really. Most of the time, the idol is in our hearts. Something has your love. You bow to it. You worship it. And you put it ahead of God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Commandment number one. The greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. I think right at the beginning of our 2 weeks here, someone said something about Christianity being exclusive. And it seems to me that if we are to serve this holy God, it's something that's very exclusive. You can't serve two masters, I said the other night. You cannot serve two masters. And if we want to be servants of God, if we want to follow Him, if we want to live for Him, if we want to be kept, Kayla, if you want to be kept, then you have to make sure that there are no idols in our hearts, in our lives. Things where the enemy will have a hold. Now, can you think of an idol? Sometimes it's a relationship. And God says, well, I'm not pleased with that relationship. That person is not a Christian. Or maybe it's just friends in general. We need friends, don't we? But we ought to surround ourselves with friends that love the Lord, that will help us in following after God. And let's be honest. Sometimes, I'm going to be a light to my friends. Yes, you ought to be a light to your friends, but make sure that they're not influencing you and putting you in positions where your faith is compromised, so to speak, or where you're tempted. Sometimes we have to go alone. Sometimes we have to walk away from those friendships that will lead us astray. And these things can be idols. When God says, lay that down, and we say no, what are we actually doing? We're putting that thing above God, and it becomes an idol. For some people, I don't know. I trust your phone isn't your idol. You know, it just changes. The sermon changes, right? We didn't have cell phones years ago. But it seems we're so attached to those things. We carry them with us wherever we go. We constantly look at them. Mm-hmm. When they ring, we have to pick them up. Now, we've become slaves to this
this little box.
Do you turn off your cell phone during your quiet time with God? There are things that we love, beloved, that we put ahead of God. Something has your heart. And you might say, well, it's not really sinful, Brother Phil. It's not that bad. But if it's keeping you from following after God with all your heart, then it needs to be put aside. There's a story in the New Testament that I'm also going to just read to you. It's found in Mark. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Beginning at verse 17. And see if we can identify the idol. The idol that was such a great hindrance in this little story. And when Jesus had gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Now Mark includes that little phrase in his account. We find this story in other Gospels, but Mark includes that thought, that Jesus looked at him and loved him. I believe that God looks down upon us, this group, this little group, and he sees us and he loves us. He sees that there is a desire in our hearts to please him, to live for him, to serve him. This young man came and said, "I've kept all the commandments." I think he was a standout among the other young men. I believe that his desire was there. There was a desire to have this question answered. He was an earnest seeker. "What must I do to inherit eternal life? I want to know. It's important to me." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." So what does the young man do? Well, Jesus goes on and says this to him, "Come, take up your cross and follow me." There were two things there. It was beyond just selling what he had, his possession. It was more than just selling that. Jesus was calling him to be his disciple. Had Jesus said that to other men, "Follow me"? Yes, he had. He had called men, the tax collector, the fisherman, Judas Iscariot, "Follow me." And here he says it to this young man, who when he looked upon him, it says he loved him. He saw something in him that was desiring eternal life. And so this is the way. You want to know the way? Sell what you have. Give to the poor. Come, take up your cross and follow me. And what does the young man do? It says he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possession. Now to me, it seems that the story ends in that way, that he just couldn't respond. He could not do what Jesus asked him to do. What was his idol? It says he has great possessions. You think his possessions were his idol? Jesus said, give that to me. Just lay that down. And he couldn't do it. Now again, the Holy Spirit has to interpret this to each one of us. The idols may be different. But if they're not laid down, if they're not broken down, so to speak, then we'll not have the ability to follow on, to really know the Lord, and to really serve Him. Camp will have been great. It will be an experience that you can look back and say, I had a wonderful time at camp. But unless the idols are taken from our hearts, beloved, we're not able to serve God acceptably. We can't. When I was a teenager, I have stories from camp, and I think this is one that you probably haven't heard. But as a teenager, we would come up here for winter retreats. And they would have one for the young men and for the young ladies and then sometimes the older men. And they had a young men's retreat. And I loved camp. And if you haven't been to camp in the winter, it's like a totally different world. I mean, it's white. It's just white. And it's quiet. Like still, it's like... And you can walk out on the ice and it cracks, not under your feet, but it's just like I would bring kids here from the city and they would say, what's that, Brother Phil? But I remember coming up one year and we had a snowstorm. You know, it was always in the winter time, and so there was a snowstorm, and I don't know how many hours it took us to get here. Came up the Taconic. I don't know what they were thinking. I wasn't the driver. Didn't know if we were going to get here. But wonderful times here. And one time when we came, now, this just was one of those things that, you know, something clicks, something happens, and you remember. Brother Paul was playing a song on the organ the other morning. And it just clicked. And I remembered years ago, we met in that prayer room over here. That was where that was heated, and we met in there for our meetings. And I remember a song that was sung and a word that was given. And I'm going to ask you to open your hymn books right now to 113. 113. We've been challenged in these days here at camp to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We had that article, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit since you believed? And here is a song about the Holy Spirit. And it talks to us about the work that the Holy Spirit would like to do in each of our lives. It gives us a glimpse of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Holy Ghost, with light divine, shine upon this heart of mine. Chase the shades of night away. Turn my darkness into day. The Holy Spirit is at work to, our sister Kayla talked about salvation, about being saved. You know, we were lost in that darkness of sin, but the Holy Spirit shone His light into our hearts and made us see how much we needed Jesus, and we cried out to God. And that Holy Spirit of God touched our dead spirit, and there was that new creation. Verse 2, Holy Ghost, with power divine, cleanse this guilty heart of mine. Long has sin without control held dominion o'er my soul. And I remember as that we sang that verse, now I'm going back many years, I remember as a teenager, I felt that way. I felt that there were things that I couldn't overcome. I felt that there were sins, there were temptations that were too big for me. Long has sin without control held dominion o'er my soul. The Holy Spirit has power to set us free, to break that power of sin, because He is the Holy Spirit. He makes you holy. Holy Ghost, with joy divine, cheer this saddened heart of mine. Bid my many woes depart. Heal my wounded, bleeding heart. Do we need that? Do we need that joy? That, why can everyone be happy in the kitchen? Is that natural? I don't think so. If I was in the kitchen, I don't think you would be happy with me, Simpson. No, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. He pours His joy into our lives. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that's real, that He produces in us. It doesn't have to do with our circumstances. It doesn't whether I'm having a good day or a bad day. I can have His joy. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Lord. Fourth, and this is the verse that I remember as a young person. This was the verse that spoke to me the loudest. Holy Spirit, all divine, dwell within this heart of mine. Cast down every idle throne. Reign supreme and reign alone. As I began tonight, I said that as Christians, we can have idols in our hearts. Oh yes, we can know that our sins are forgiven. We can have that experience, that initial experience in salvation of the sins being forgiven. But who is the Lord of your life? Who is your master? Who are you serving? Are we still living for ourselves? Have we put our little idols up on that throne of our heart and said, I bow to you, you know? Lord, you're not the master just yet. I still want to do my own thing. I still want to have my own way. But when the Holy Spirit comes, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus is placed on that throne. He is our Lord. He is our master. He is our King. And so my prayer for you and prayer for all of us as we go back to the city, go back to our homes, go back to our schools. Lord, I want you to be on the throne of my heart. Cast down every idle throne. Reign supreme and reign alone. And so why is it that Joshua said you cannot serve the Lord? Why was it? Ingram, you're awake, right? Why couldn't they serve God? What remained in their hearts? An idol. They were, here's another word for you, Wiz Joel. They were unsanctified. They were unsanctified. They weren't set apart wholly for God's service. And the Lord would like to sanctify our hearts. The Holy Spirit is that great divine sanctifier. Sets us apart to serve God, to live for Him alone. So I'd like us to sing this song together. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would shine into our hearts. That we would allow Him to search our hearts. That if there's something where we haven't been able to overcome, maybe you know that when you go home, you're going to face that temptation. Holy Ghost, you are able to break that power of sin to give me victory over temptation. Maybe there's an idol Maybe God's speaking to you. Maybe you know in your heart exactly what God is saying. Are you willing to yield that thing to Him? I read an article today, and the lady was relating, the one who wrote it, she was relating how she was at an altar service and she heard this lady saying, "No, Lord, I don't want to talk about that. No, Lord, I don't want to talk about that." And she walked up behind her and she said, "You better talk to Jesus about the thing He wants to talk to you about. It'll be better for you in the end." So if God is speaking to you, if God is speaking to you, don't say, "Lord, you know, another time." It's now. It's now. It's tonight. And after we sing this song, we're going to go to prayer. And I want you to do business with God. I believe that there is a desire in each of our hearts to live for Him. We're like that rich young ruler. We want, "Lord, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" And He pointed to that one thing that was so important to that man, the thing that had his heart, and he couldn't lay it down. The Lord is calling us to follow Him tonight, to be His disciples, to live for Him 100%, to be all for Jesus. And so let's just say yes to Him. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to just deal with our hearts, and then to come and fill us. Fill us, Jesus, fill now with Thy Spirit hearts that full surrender know. God has that for each one of us. You know, I began these 2 weeks with this little invitation. And I'm going to read it again to you. "It is my desire that all of my children be filled with my Spirit, for that is the way I come to you. I come to dwell within you. I come to do my will in you. I come to enable you. And so I am waiting for you to come in faith and to just open your heart wide and allow me to cleanse you and purify and take out those things that hinder and take possession of you as I desire to, and as you find it in my word." That was a message that came to us at a Pilgrim Camp staff meeting. "It's my desire that all my children be filled with my Spirit." And so let's sing this prayer to the Lord. Holy Ghost with light divine, shine upon this heart of mine.
Holy Ghost with light divine, shine upon this heart of mine. Chase the shades of night away. Turn my darkness into day.
Jesus, 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 Jesus. Dad, would you pray with us, please?
The Lord has a way to keep before us the things that He would like to remove. I'm certain that He's spoken to your heart.
My heart. Let's expect Him to remove from us those things that hinder Him to take full possession. There's another hymn. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol. Cast out every foe. Is that your prayer? Will that be your prayer? It ought to be your prayer. Dear Lord, break down every idol. Cast out every foe. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Praise the Lord. I noticed that someone didn't even sing the hymn. It's a good thing to deal with God when He puts His finger upon those things that displease Him. And that's what we want to do tonight. Oh God, thank You for calling our attention to those things that cause Thee displeasure, that You want to free us of. And You are offering Yourself tonight to deliver us. Oh, that we might serve Thee in a manner that is pleasing to You. Thank You, Lord. Well, let's go to prayer. And everyone deal with God as He is dealing with us. And say, yes, Lord, thank You. Remove that from me, that I might glorify Thee. Amen.